Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're in part 59 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. I suppose I could do 59 million messages on this because it's very necessary to know how to have God's life living in you. So many people say, I'm Christian, and they don't have God's life living in them. Now, this is program number 161, and if you'd like a copy of it, we'll tell you how you can receive an absolutely free copy of it at the end of this program. But we have some letters and things to expound to you, but until then, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this message so that it comes from God, from beneath the Lord's throne, cascading down from heaven, flowing into me, and from me out to you. Father, we ask that this is done so that the word becomes alive into the hearts of those that are not saved, and it becomes alive and more powerful in the hearts of those that are saved, that their souls may be strengthened, and that they may be elevated to another level, a higher level in maturity in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so where's the first letter from?
From Malawi, Africa. Okay. My dear Pastor Alamo, firstly, I greet you in the name of our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The main purpose of writing this letter is that I heard from a certain pastor that you are Theophilus, the lover of God. He explained more on how God is working through you, your obedience to his calling. It was from this time when I was really touched and lacking peace in my mind, and without hesitation, I have written this letter. I am a boy, age 23, and I am having the vision to serve the Lord as a pastor. My responsibility in the church, I am the chairperson as well as the leader of fellowship groups, and I have the hunger to join this alive ministry which is out on top of the hill, leading the multitudes to the mighty river of life. Another thing which has forced me to write this letter is that I am having the hunger to serve the Lord truly with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. So as I have witnessed and proved myself about your good works you are doing, I want you to assist me in your prayers, and I believe that even if you can pray within a minute, God can do extraordinary miracles in my life as well as the church workers here.
This is true. You know, when you pray, and you're praying in faith, believing with the faith that amounts to no more than just the grain of a mustard seed, God can do more in one flash of a second for the entire world to believe, and you, your loved ones, and the church, everybody, than we could do in millions of years. The Lord created the heavens and the earth in just a few days, 6 days. And just imagine what he can do in a flash of a second. He just said, let there be light, and it was there. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're in darkness, all you have to do is just call on the Lord, and he'll bring you right into the light. If you're lost, he'll bring you into salvation. It's just that fast. Okay, then what?
Pastor Alamo, I will be very grateful if you can send some of your inspiring literature to be distributed to the church members. Yours, waiting the soon coming King, Silas from Malawi, Africa.
Praise the Lord, yes. It's given everything he asked for. Free of charge, of course. Bibles, Messiah books, tapes, CDs, literature, everything. It's free of charge. Not to say that you're not to tithe, but many of you people out there don't have any finances. And it's free to everybody. Even if you're rich and you just don't want to bless yourself by blessing the church of God, we'll send it to you. We don't ask you how much money you have or how much you don't have. Okay, where's the next letter from? Okay, this you say is from a person in our church, Richard Tyner, who has several children and is a married man. And I was bringing a series on the book of Revelation. I'm still doing it. And I talked about the appearance that God told John to, that he was going to show him a lot of pictures, a lot of signs, and for him to write down what he sees. And one of these signs was a picture of, or a vision of God, the Almighty God, sitting with a green rainbow around his head, and he had the appearance of a jasper stone, which is a light green, greenish colored, beautiful colored stone, and it's symbolic of eternal life, immortality, everlasting life. And the city in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation is the same color. It's like greenish, like the color of a jasper stone. And so in this, the first in the book of Genesis, it says that God made us in his likeness and image. And we fell away from that, but Jesus came into the world. And those of us that wanted to be have eternal life like Adam and Eve were first given, and not to ever let Satan steal it away from us by believing him rather than God, we, by continuous growth in the Lord Jesus Christ, we reach maturity in him and are then transformed into the exact image and likeness of God. And thereby we, who are the New Jerusalem, the foundation of the New Jerusalem with Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, have the same appearance as the greenish, beautiful color of jasper, which is symbolic in the book of Revelation as everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so this young man was, before he's heard these messages, unless somebody sneakily told him of it on the phone or something, or told somebody else on the phone, and then they passed it on to him, he writes this letter to me, or emails it, one of the two, telling me that he was reading that very same spot in the book of Revelation, but he didn't know what the color green was symbolic of. So let's go ahead and read his letter so you can hear it.
Regarding the Jasper Stone. I had just read the chapter and verse in Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. He that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper stone and sardine stone, and then a rainbow round the throne in sight like an emerald, and that part, like a, quote, jasper stone, really stood out to me. I stopped reading and pondered the picture. A bow around the throne was like an emerald. Now I knew an emerald was green and crystalline, but I was wondering what color a jasper stone was.
It's a light greenish, beautiful color. Okay, then what?
And I was going to find out.
I was in the jewelry business at one time when I had my clothing store in Nashville, Tennessee, and I also, my clothes were also in 10,000 other stores throughout the world, including Neiman Marcus and merry-go-round Signal, the Trump Towers, the Trump Plaza Hotel, and the Trump Plaza Hotel in a store called Toucans, and hundreds of other stores. But anyway, so I'm familiar with the color of stones, okay, precious stones. Then go ahead.
I was going to find out when a little later, as I was listening to one of the taped messages, I believe it was program 150, you said, quote, he was like a jasper stone, unquote, meaning, quote, the fullness of life, unquote.
Right, the fullness of life, which means you can't have any more life than eternal life, amen?
Amen.
Eternal life is the fullness of life, and life more abundantly here on this earth. But a lot of people perish because they don't have the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God says that we have power and dominion over Satan. And the way that we have this power and dominion is to expose him, and I intend to expose him more and more every day of my life so that I can maintain the power that God has given me over Satan by exposing him. And so we must receive that part of the Bible. Some people think it's just so nasty to say bad things about certain people that are being used by the devil. Of course, Jesus called Peter Satan. He says, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, when he stated that he shouldn't go to the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And then he mentioned many others. He told the Pharisees that you people are the children of the devil. And he says that people are like pigs and dogs, if they were saved and they get back and they fall back into the world, and that you're like a dog going back to its vomit and lapping it up, or a sow that goes back to its wallowing in the mire. So the Lord, he talks to his congregation that way. I've had people say, how do you talk to your people the way you do? Well, because the same Spirit of God is in me that was in Jesus, and he wants me to be not an imitation of him, but he wants me to be real. And so many of the people, including some of you that are listening, are not real. You know, you can't be a phony and get into the kingdom of heaven. You can't be fearful and unbelieving. Amen? Mm-hmm. You have to let the Spirit of God, the triune Godhead that's living in you, if he is living in you, let him have his way. And sometimes he gets pretty graphic about certain people, like, for instance, the Pope, and other infamous people. No, you see, you're offended, some of you out there, because I said the Pope is infamous. But he did take part in murdering 7 million Jews, and the Vatican is well renowned now these days. The cat, so to speak, is out of the bag. And everybody knows that Hitler, when Hitler said that I'm just doing what the Vatican has always wanted to do for years, and that's to murder all the Jews, to rid the earth of all them. So, and then there's people from Vatican teaching that thinks that the Jews are the ones causing all the trouble in Israel. Oh, it's their land, and the Palestinians were never given that land, nor was anybody else. The Jews are God's chosen people, whether you like it or not. And if just because they don't want to be like you Gentiles, doesn't mean they just want to be at peace in their land, and they don't want to give it away to a bunch of raghead Arabs, Palestinians, or anyone else, or the English, or the Germans. So these are nasty things to say about them, but this is Bible, what I'm preaching. If you want to listen to something else, then, you know, switch over to Bozo the Clown, okay? Because if you don't like the Word of God, then you're the same category or worse than Bozo. Okay, then what else?
And you said jasper is a pleasant green color. It was early in the morning.
Because I stated on the program that jasper is a very light, beautiful, greenish color. Okay, then what?
It was early in the morning, and I was on watch. And the way the sunlight was filtering down through the new growth of the trees and bushes out here, the, quote, picture literally pulled praises to God out of me. What a wonderful surprise to see this picture of the Lord illuminated from the throne to the earth he created. He's the same fullness of life. I'm so thankful for God, the way God prepares our hearts and gives us answers and reveals the things of God through you. And this is nothing new. You and Susie have always steadily spoon-fed me and the congregation, and now the world. Hallelujah. The Word of God and its meanings. I feel sustainedly thankful for what God has brought my destroyed, wasted self into and to be a part of, and given me this heavenly place in Jesus and this ministry, and restored me, healed me, and most importantly, kept me. I just had to write this all down and send it to you. I simply want to thank you. You and yours are always in my prayers. Praise the Lord, the fullness of life eternally, Rick.
Well, Rick, we know you've been around for quite a while, because Susie, my late wife, has been deceased now. That was her anniversary of her death, April 8th. She passed away April 8th, 82. And this is now April
13th.
So this is several days past 5 days past the anniversary of her death. This is 2006, and so she's been gone now for over 24 years. So we know you've been in the church for over 24 years, because you speak of Susie. Amen. Sue and I have had the church now going on 41 and a half years, and I've been carrying on the work through the Lord since 1982. Okay, and then what else? And I was brought to the Lord in 1964. So that's when the Lord first spoke to me, to where it frightened me to serve him. I know now that I've heard his voice a couple of times when I was a little boy. Okay, then what? He just said my name repeatedly. And then he showed me the stars and brought his presence right down in my face one morning about 5 o'clock in the morning, somewhere in there. It was pitch dark outside in Montana, Helena, Montana, and the stars were like a jewelry case. It just looked like diamonds sparkling and twinkling. And I looked up and I couldn't, I said, oh, how beautiful. And all of a sudden those stars just came. It's very close, it seemed like, and I felt it was very cold outside, and I felt a very warm smile coming from there, and it frightened me so much I stopped looking up. I just looked down at the ground. But it was a very pleasant experience. But in the office where the Lord closed my ears up and talked to my into my spirit, I couldn't hear anything with my natural ears, but I could hear very well him telling me to, I am the Lord thy God, stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And the second time he said it, when I was about ready to leave the office, he opened up my mind, and I knew that he knew every blade of grass. He showed me there's a heaven and a hell. And I knew he knew every thought, everything that I'd ever done in my life. And he knows the same about you and everybody. He knows what you're thinking and knows what you're going to say before you say it. And he even tells me what to say so that I know that there's no friction in my soul when I'm telling people what he's telling me to say. But there would, you know, if I tried to say anything on these broadcasts other than what he was telling me, I'd feel a violent end to my conversation. So the things that you hear me say are coming directly from the Lord. Okay, and then what else?
Next letter from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, receive salutations in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank the Lord for raising up a servant like you that has given up your life to serve God's kingdom.
I gave up my former life, which was worthless, but I actually received real life, eternal life, and life more abundantly here on this earth. And he'll do the same for you. So don't be jealous of me just to receive him, and you'd never tell. He might do 1,000 times more with you than he did with me. You can't tell. Okay, don't judge God, all right? God is the judge, not you or I. Okay, go ahead.
Pastor, I am a boy of 16 years of age. Going straight to the point, I was an idol worshiper, and all my family and friends were worshiping idols. One day, which was the 1st of July, I found one of your literature books called The Messiah. I went through it, and it taught me about the right way to know God. I repented that day and confessed all my sins to the Lord, and he forgave me. When I went back home, I showed my father the book, and he collected it and started beating me because I have departed from him. He threw me out of his house, and I stopped school just because I refused to worship an idol. Pastor, now I am a street boy, but grace be upon the Lord that I am a Christian. Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened to me. It was said in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 4, do not turn to idols or make gods of cast metal for yourselves. I am the Lord your God.
Or don't make it out of wood or any stone or anything. Amen?
Amen.
Not just metal, but anything. All right, then what else?
Now I have decided to follow Christ, no turning back, no matter the consequences. Sir, since I am now on the track to eternal life, I shall request you to please send me your literature, tapes, Bibles, and your books, which contain biblical teachings about God, and even money if you can afford it, because I am suffering, but I know I will be laughing on the right side of the Savior. As of now, I don't know where to go, but God's time is the best. I now attend a Bible-believing church in Ghana. My next letter to you will contain a true picture of that idol and my father, too. Pastor, pray for me and remember my family, too, in prayers, so that they also can know the right way. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. May the Lord be with you all. Amen. Yours faithfully, Hayford from Kumasi, Ghana.
Okay, now, like I said before, The Lord says the way that we bind the devil here on earth so that the Lord can bind him in heaven is to expose him. And so here's the same book that exposes President Bush as being a puppet of the Vatican and actually not being a born-again Christian, but he's a Catholic, which is the actual Antichrist cult on earth. Okay, the name of the book is The Secret Terrorist, and the author is?
Bill Hughes.
And the publishing company that you order it from is?
Truth Triumphant.
Okay, and the address is?
P.O. Box 567, Tangerine, Florida, 32777.
So you can order the book there. It says, and we'll read just a little bit about World War II, how it started and everything. Go ahead.
World War II. World War II was the most...
What page is that on?
Page 71, Chapter 7.
Okay, go ahead.
World War II was the most extensive and devastating war in recorded history. Hundreds of thousands of people died in this war.
Not only hundreds of thousands of people, but 7 million Jews alone. Millions of people died during that war. All right? So, but, you know, so many people won't believe millions, but he put down hundreds of thousands. Millions are a combination of many hundreds of thousands. All right, and then what else?
Most people have no idea why this war was fought or what the cause of this war was. Wars do not just happen. They are planned and executed by people high in governments for their own advantage.
Yeah, right now, the United States, the apparent United States government, but it's actually the Roman government because Rome has taken over the whole world, as the Bible said it would. It comes from Rome, the city of the seven hills, which is the head of the, which is the actual seat of the Antichrist, the devil. And they're planning a war against God's children again, against our church. Every time they run a one of these fake stories of Jim Jones, and it's very cleverly devised stories, that's just, they always do that before they come raiding our church. And the reason they want to raid our church is because we're exposing them. I expose them to the heavens, and so that, because I want them bound. I want Satan bound on this earth so that God can bind him in heaven. Whatsoever is bound on this earth shall be bound in heaven. Well, how do you bind the whole Antichrist church or cult? Well, you get ropes and just bind everybody that believes in the Roman Empire, which is the actual head of our country here. No, you can't do that. You've got to get a binding from the Lord. And therefore, you don't want to die because of the lack of knowledge. Jesus said, and God says that, which Jesus is God, that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
So, in other words, they go to hell, and they die, and they go to hell because they don't understand what's going on in the world. The Lord says to resist the devil, and how could we know who to resist and where to resist him from if we don't know who he is and where he's from? So, and to bind Satan on earth, like I said, you can't get ropes or, you know, kidnap them like they do people that are of the Lord. But what you do is expose them. And then when we expose them, God binds them in heaven as well. But whatsoever we loose on earth, if we know who the devil is and where he is from, and we just let him go crazy on earth like he's been doing for so many years, well, then the Lord's not going to is going to allow him to be loose in heaven as well. He won't help you. But if we expose him, then the Lord comes down and exposes him even more. And because once they're exposed, they're helpless. It's the same thing as if you took a turtle and put it on its back. It's very hard for them to get on their feet again. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I decided that I want Satan bound on this earth, and I want everybody to know. God said that this Roman cult, this Roman Empire, this Roman government, the one world government and church, and the media is the devil. It's powered by Satan, that great red dragon mentioned in the book of Revelation. And so we can all bind the devil by exposing him, but if you just sit there and keep your mouth shut and you don't say anything or do anything about the powers, and it's if, especially if you know you people in government, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire with Satan and his angels for keeping your mouth shut. Now, I really admired John Peeler for exposing Satan. He stated that this government is not the American government anymore, that it's from Rome. It's the Antichrist. And we have the piece of literature that he wrote. And he's a former FBI and the BATF, as in Frank, a secret agent. And he stated that he was paid by this government to assassinate me. Do you think that's a good government that would pay to have a person that's exposing Satan and showing you how to get into the kingdom of heaven? Why would anyone that is not of the Lord, why would anyone that is not of the devil want to exterminate me? Only the devil would want to exterminate me, and so that's why I say, and that's why the Bible says that Rome, the one world cult, and the one world government, which is the United Nations, and the one world media is the Antichrist, and that's what they're doing. They start playing these Jim Jones movies and all that, but they won't play the atrocities that they do. They say Jim Jones spank kids. Now, that's biblical to do that. If the kid, otherwise they go crazy and they're starting to kill everybody because nobody ever disciplines them. It doesn't say to torture them like the government does, or to kill them like the government does. Remember, Mr. Clinton and Janet Reno killed all those children over at Waco in our own country with our own troops. Now, if that doesn't tell that, American soldiers would never do anything like that. So these are not American soldiers. These are Roman worshipers. They are empowered by Satan. And they blew up the federal building and the World Trade Center. All these administrations, these Catholics, had part in that. And I think a lot of people know that, but they don't want to say anything. They don't want to expose Satan, so therefore Satan's just raising hell with everybody on earth. But as for me, I'm going to expose him because I want him bound so he doesn't hurt your children, he doesn't hurt you, he doesn't blow your church up or any buildings with you working in it, and he doesn't destroy the nation's economy like he's already done. He's taken all the major industry out of the country. The Japanese, our former war enemies that the government taught us to hate, and Germany, to have all the industry so far as making these television sets and radios and automobiles, and the Chinese now are doing all of our clothing for us. Isn't that nice? And our people are out of work and homeless on the streets. Okay, so during World War II, they stated that, you know, there wasn't enough food, there wasn't enough energy, just like they're saying now. We've got more oil under our ground than any Arabic country has. And we have enough of this petroleum, I've been told by people in the know, that would last us for over 300 years. They're just telling a big story to you, a big lie to you, so that you feel that we have to kill people in order to satisfy our hunger, our lust for oil and gasoline, and to get the prices down. And you believe the Antichrist. You poor simps. Only people, if you knew the Bible, you'd have to be a pinhead to believe any of this stuff that's going on in this world. Read the Bible. The Lord is the one that tells the truth. He is the truth. And everyone else is a liar. The Lord says, let God be called the truth and every man a liar, especially those that are the Antichrist. You're living a lie, you're believing a lie, and you're lost. And the Lord's coming back, and you could die any minute. You may never see another sunset. You may never see another sun rising. Your children might not. And you say, well, I don't worry about myself. What about your loved ones? Don't you have a little daughter or a son or somebody that you love? God could take them in just one flash of a second. So shape up, or the Lord will ship you out. Okay, then what? Go ahead. So read some more of this man's article about World War II. He probably, he knows a lot, I believe. But I'll tell you one thing. I know a lot also. A lot. Okay, I was growing up during World War II. And I know that they took meat away from people. We were living in a place where It was the dairy capital of Montana, Fergus County, Lewistown, Montana. We were living there, and we couldn't even get a pound of butter because they were telling the farmers, the dairymen, to flush all their milk down into the ground or just sell it to the government. But they wouldn't allow people to have it because they wanted us to feel the pangs of war. No butter. And then they would take big barges out to ocean over here in California, over from Long Beach, and they'd dump millions of tons of meat and butter and all sorts of things, nylon stockings and shoes, leather goods and all that. In other words, it's so easy to have leather goods. We had to wear cardboard shoes because they said all that leather had to go into the boys that are over there fighting in Germany and in Japan. All you do is raise more cows and you got all the leather you want, more than enough. I mean, how stupid, you people. How utterly ungodly to believe such ungodly lies. People were starting to eat horse meat and they were thankful to do it. But you didn't have to do that. They may even took Hershey bars and said, we can't have Hershey's anymore. And then Lucky Strike cigarettes used to have a green package instead of white. And their advertisement was, Lucky Strike Green has gone to war. We needed all that green paint for camouflage. You idiots! And you believed it. You simpering, whimpering idiots. And you're believing their garbage today. That Christian people are cults. And that damnable cult in Rome is of the Lord. And you let the news media just exalt it to the stars. You idiots. Don't you read the Bible? Read it and see what God says about that. He calls it a bastard. Now, bastard means that it's a fatherless child. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't have God. These people don't have God as their father. And therefore, the Lord calls them bastards. Amen?
Amen.
Paul calls them bastards. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says they're bastards. Amen?
Amen.
Do you want to be a bastard all your life? Get saved then so you can have God for your father. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? A bastard is one that doesn't know who his father is. And the Bible says that the people that are dead in sins and trespasses don't know anything. The Bible says the dead don't know anything. You don't know anything. So you have to come to Christ, who is the life. He's the eternal, everlasting life, the fullness of life, so that you can get hip to the haps. You can get hip to the happenings. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, quote, in politics, nothing happens by accident.
Mm-mm. There's no accident that Pearl Harbor was bombed by Japan. Do you think that was an accident? That was well planned, and it was planned with the NATO, the United Nations. France knew about it. Franco knew about it. Russia knew about it, and so did FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he just let it happen. Those poor soldiers, and they knew all about, the administration knew about the bombing of the federal building over in Oklahoma City and the World Trade Center in New York. As a matter of fact, these people that are in the know, and even FBI men like John Peeler, stated that there was dynamite laced throughout the building so that if the planes or those rockets had hit it, would not destroy the building, that these different demolition dynamite plants all throughout the building would smash it and pancake it down to where everybody in the building would be killed. This was the one world government that did this. And you believed them? Okay, keep going with World War II.
If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way, unquote.
Yeah. If something is happening, it was planned that way. The Vatican stated that there was going to be terrorism happening in the early fall. I said, as sure as God made little green apples, it's going to happen. All right? And it's going to be them that does it, because they're certainly not prophets. they're of the devil, and they're telling you what they're going to do. But the media and the government is so well organized by Satan, they think that who could say anything about it? Just one little voice is like a peep of a little bird among the jungle of these maniacs that are doing the things that they're doing. But I'm on radio now, and I'm ungovernment lord, so you have to do something about it. You said I'm binding them by exposing them, and so now you have to do it. You have to keep your word, Lord. And I'm asking you that that you have to in the name of Jesus. And the Lord loves a prayer like that. You know that? Because he wants you to stand on his word tall. You know, walking tall. Just like Buford Pusser, only better. Because Buford Pusser only came against a few criminals in his little hick town. But we stand against the entire world government, the Antichrist cult, and the media, and all their hit men. And they've got plenty of money to pay for you to be hit. But if you're fearful and unbelieving, you will not spend eternity in heaven. You'll be in the pit of hell and the lake of fire. Okay, go ahead.
Let us take a look at who planned World War II. Quote, popes and their Jesuitical agents have been and are the instigators of wars. And while the world is having real pain, Rome is having champagne, unquote.
There you go. Okay, are you going to receive it? I'm not the only one saying it. We just acquired this book about a year ago, amen, and I've been exposing Rome for many years, and there are people that were born and died before me that's been exposing it for hundreds of years. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That quote was by Jeremiah J. Crowley, a former Catholic priest, and it's in a book, Romanism, A Menace to the Nation, Menace Publishing, page 144. The Pope was just as much in the Second World War as was Hitler and Catholic Mussolini, and therefore just as guilty of the murder of 6 million Jews. In fact, popes have been in or instigated most, if not all, the European wars down through the centuries. Unquote.
Even the Civil War here in the States. And the Bible says that she is the mother, the actual one that gives birth to every sin on the face of this earth. Every sin. Okay, keep going.
That quote was by F. Paul Peterson in the book Peter's Tomb Recently Discovered in Jerusalem, page 63.
Now, this book that we're reading right here also has a chapter on President Lincoln, who exposed the Vatican, and he was killed because of it. But Lincoln didn't preach the gospel that much, and so people really didn't realize who it was that would do such an atrocity as that. And J.F. Kennedy was getting too smart. They want you to believe that it was the mafia that killed him. Well, let me tell you, men, women, girls, boys, brothers and sisters out there, that the mafia is the world government, the world cult, government, and media. They make the actual Italian mafia look like Tiny Tim. Okay, a little crippled boy. Okay, that Scrooge gave a turkey to, I believe. Okay, or a ham. Okay, what else?
It's also quoted in the book Is Alberto for Real? By Sidney Hunter, Chick Publications, page 41. Another quote. One may say quite specifically that in 1914 the Roman Church started the series of hellish wars. It was then that the tribute of blood, which she has always taken from the peoples, began to swell into a veritable torrent.
Now, isn't it uncanny that Bush, who has built monuments unto the Pope in Washington, D.C., just declared war on Iraq and is planning to wage war on Iran? I mean, what business have we to do over there? They were living in peace. They have no weapons of mass destruction, according to officials. And now they just came up with a cock and bull story telling you, yeah, now they have it. They found it. It's underground in a cave. Right. Yeah, that. Right. Didn't you know that Satan, the Bible says, is a liar and the father of it, and that he's a thief and a robber and a destroyer? And he wants to destroy your soul by not listening to what's actually going on in this world. And it's amazing because you're in this world now, but you're going to die and you're going to stand judgment before the Lord. There's the great throne judgment. That's the last judgment, the final judgment, the day of reckoning. And you're going to be there whether you want to or not. And why don't you get some intestinal chutzpah, fortitude inside of you, and start blowing the whistle on this damnable satanic being, the devil, the great red dragon that's powering Rome, the world government, and the media. Do something about it. God will back you up. He says, bind it on earth by exposing it, and I'll back it up from heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
That quote was by Edmund Paris in the book The Vatican Against Europe, the Wycliffe Press, page 48. These are not the only reputable authors who implicate the papacy as the instigators of World War II, as well as all other wars. In light of these statements, it is sickening to hear of a recent meeting held in Assisi, Italy, where John Paul II was quoted as saying, quote, violence never again, war never again, terrorism never again, unquote. The papacy has instigated and is still instigating wars, and the Pope has the audacity to make that statement. America is currently conducting a war on terrorism. The above statements indicate that the papacy is responsible for making this war on terrorism necessary. George Bush declared in the USA Today, September 17, 2001, that his administration is preparing a crusade against terrorism.
And yet they're the one that caused it. That's what the Pope does. He says he hates homosexuality, but he is a screaming homosexual and a child molester as well. And they're waging war against child molesters. And look at the priests that they herded over into the Vatican to hide them from a prosecution here in this country. They just slap their wrists and says, oh, you know, don't worry about it. Transfer them from one church, one of those cults, to another. And Bush says, you know, we got to start a war on... that's what Hitler said. We got to start a war on those that burned down the Reichstag building. They're the one that burned it down, but they tried to make it look like it was somebody else. And that's what we blew this building up ourselves over here. The people that are in the administration knew about it, and they actually, George Bush's brother was in charge of security at the building. Was he not?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was, and that's in this book and many other books. So he just, they put him in there so that he'd let all these FBI agents and BAT agents go in there and plant dynamite throughout the entire building so that when these planes or rockets hit the building, that these they had a plunger and they'd plunge it down and all the dynamite would go off at the same time. You can see the explosives going on different floors. When the fire, and it was clear up many floors above, and that's what caused the building to go down. It would not have gone down from those two airplanes, or the officials say it was actual rockets, remote-controlled rockets. Okay, then what?
In past history, crusades were religious wars fought on behalf of papal interests. Was President Bush telling us that his war on terrorism is being fought to further papal interests?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes. Papal actually means breasts. The Pope means abreast. And then he says he's not a queer. All of them are queers. Worse than that, they're powered by Satan. They're satanic. They're like the devil is living right in them. Just as the Lord lives in us, those of us that have God in us, Christ with his Father, by the Spirit, the entire Godhead living in us, so also do these people have Satan living in them. Satan's angels are living in them. Evil spirits. And these things are all happening from evil spirits in high places. Okay, let's keep going.
Adolf Hitler was guilty of all kinds of atrocities during the Second World War.
Well, he was studying to be a Catholic priest. He was an out-and-out Catholic. Okay, then what?
Was he really responsible for these atrocities, or was he simply carrying out orders? Consider who was pulling the strings in Hitler's Germany. Quote, in Germany, the Papal Nuncio in Berlin, Pacelli and Franz von Papen, Privy Chamberlain to the Pope, advocated a, quote, union with Rome, unquote, and concentrated on the overthrow of the Weimar Republic. The German Catholics were hostile to Nazism, but were informed that the Pope himself was, quote, favorably disposed towards Hitler, unquote.
I don't believe that any of them. You know, look, I've met a lot of good Catholic priests that they didn't know anything about what the hierarchy in the Catholic cult does. And one of them was a pretty fat friar over in Israel, over in Tiberias when I was there. And we'd sit under a nice shade tree up there, and he'd talk about the St. Peter's fish that you catch in the Sea of Galilee. I said, is it good? He says, oh my, it's so tasty. And I said, well, where can I get me some? And he says, that kibbutzin across to the lake over there, they call it the Lake Kinnereth also, the Sea of Galilee. And so I made it my business to go over there and try some of it. It was pretty good. But he mainly was talking about food. He didn't talk about making wars or anything. I know a lot of them are as innocent as can be, but they still need to be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And some of my best friends, Charlie Tartella, is a Catholic. He opens up the Catholic church every morning in, what town in Texas is he in? In the state camp, I think it's state capital. He lives over there, and he opens up the church every morning. And we talk on the phone all the time, and we were the best buddies before I got saved. And, I mean, he knows I'm not a cult leader. And all my friends that I've known for 50 and 60 years, they all know I'm no cult leader. They know I'm not dangerous. They know I've never hurt a fly in my life. Well, sometimes flies, okay, with a fly swatter. I'd smash the filthy things on the wall. But I've never done like what these popes do. I mean, they murder millions of people. And Hitler's and the Bushes and all these people, they send our troops over to other countries and kill, murder millions and millions of people. I've never done what Clinton has done. He's murdered those little children and their parents over there at Waco. I mean, this is the biggest bunch of dirty, filthy scum that ever lived on the face of this earth. And Hitler, who murdered 6-7 million Jews, it was more like 7 million. Okay, and then what?
Consequently, the Catholic Zentrum, axis of all parliamentary majorities, voted full rights to Hitler on January 30th, 1933. This operation was promptly followed, as in Italy, by the concluding of a concordat which was most advantageous to the Roman Church. The German episcopate swore allegiance to the Führer, and Catholic youth organizations combined with those of the Nazis, unquote.
Now, the people of in this world are so, in the Episcopalian Church, are so out of the Spirit that they have voted for themselves a homosexual head of that cult. And Episcopalians is just a division, or have joined or united themselves with Rome. And so all these churches that say they're the United Presbyterian, United Methodist, they're all part of the Catholic cult, the Antichrist. And I would suggest heavily, in a heavy way, that you get out of there before the Lord punishes you severely, severely meaning for eternity, all right? Okay, now, we're going to stop this, put a marker there, and we'll continue some of this fun tomorrow, but I want Sharon to come over here and start reading some of the How to Have God's Life Living In. You can't have God's life living in you if you can see what Satan is doing and you don't expose him, all right? Because we have to be obedient to the Lord. He wants us to bind here on earth the things that we don't like, and the way we do that is to expose them. Now, if anybody is, now these people, there's a bunch of backsliders from this our church that is out, the Vatican is paying them a lot of money, and Satan has entered them, and they do it for the love of Satan, that they're saying all kinds of, they're planning an attack on my church. And they put me in prison. They railroaded me in prison on a very false Internal Revenue Service situation. They said I was committing tax fraud. Well, I wasn't even supposed to pay taxes. I was tax exempt. But the point happens to be is that I do pay taxes. I just got through paying thousands of dollars taxes because they make me take a salary. I believe it's $60,000 a year. The tax people take care of it. And I just donate it all back to the church. And that some of his living expenses, I also have to eat and sleep and things like that. And so we paid over close to $7,000 to the on taxes. And so don't try to make it look like I don't pay taxes, because Sue and I stated that we would trade tax bills with anybody in Fort Smith, Arkansas, Alma, or Dyer. We pay also land taxes, and we were paying more than anybody else in the area. And that just goes to show, they even said that we had a tunnel up there and that we held people captive in there and that we were brainwashing and that I was hypnotizing people. How am I going to hypnotize people with legally blind eyes? I'm legally blind. But it's so amazing, you know, when they say something in the press, you cotton pickers out there believe it. Isn't that something? Now they say I'm married to a hundred women, and that I'm married to all these young girls and all kinds of stuff. I'm 71 years old. Okay? And I'm so busy in the ministry and everything, I wouldn't have time for one wife, let alone 100 wives. These idiots even said that they would break into the prison and go by my window in the prison there and sing lullabies to me. And the guards would laugh like crazy because they knew that no one could bust into that prison. That's something. Most people are trying to break out of prison. Nobody that I know of tries to break in there because of the good chow. Right?
Right.
Because the chow that I was eating in there, the cooks told me that there was boxes in there that said that they were boxed up and frozen since before World War II. That's what we were eating in there. So I don't think anybody's going to break into prison to get that good chow. Okay? Then what? And I spent 4 years in there on bogus charges. And so they're just dreaming up a big scheme on us now. And hopefully you idiots don't believe it. Okay, now go ahead.
Some people don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all.
Okay, what I'm talking about here is there's a lot of people that are withering away and falling away unto the Antichrist in churches, and there are a lot of people that just don't even pay any attention to that. Older Christians, they see young Christians come into a church and they don't pay any attention to it, whether it's a withering hand or a withering spirit in the church. And we need to, when we see people falling away in churches, we need to uplift them. The Bible says that we're supposed to support the weak ones, the weakness of others. Not to say, oh yeah, it's all right to do all these sin or any of this, but to keep feeding them the Word of God that will strengthen them, as I'm doing here on this program. I'm also not just exposing the devil, but I'm exposing eternal life to you, how to have God's life living in you, how you can be saved, born again of the Spirit, have life eternal and life more abundantly, okay, on this earth. Go ahead.
Some people don't care about the withering up of one of the members of the body of Christ at all, just as long as they keep the rules.
Yeah, in other words, rules. They have these different ceremonies in the church, you all have to be there for the ceremony and all these type of things, you know, and that isn't what the Bible is all about. We're supposed to lead people. We're messengers, and we're depicted in the book of Revelation as stars, and in the book of Daniel as stars, and those that lead many to righteousness, and also a person that saves or repairs a falling person in the Lord. This is something that the people in the churches, the true churches of the Lord, have to be aware of? You've got to focus where the priority is. It's not in ceremonies, and it's not in rituals and things like that. The Lord let us all know that Sabbath means to come to Him for a rest from your wicked ways, a rest from your former lives. And that means a permanent Sabbath, one that's every day, to be in the Spirit. Now, there are preachers that say, like Stanley, Charles Stanley, that says, oh, none of us are perfect, but the Bible states that if we walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that we're perfect. Anyone that's walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, there's no condemnation to you. And if you're not condemned, then you're perfect in the eyes of the Lord. Well, I see my time is up. And so those of you would like to be perfect, there's a starting point to perfection. You say this prayer to the Lord, and the Spirit enters into you, and then you develop the Spirit as you're feeding the new child, Christ Jesus, that enters into you, until He grows up to the fullness of stature in you. And so let's go through the first step now. Just ask God. Now you say, well, I can't keep the commandments. No, you can't, of yourself. But if you ask the Lord to enter you, then there's more power in you. The same power that holds up the heavens and the earth will be in you, and you can keep all the commandments with Him in you. And you'll see. Just give Him a chance. Now say this prayer so that the Lord can live in you. And this is what this message is about, is how to have God's life living in you. So say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy former sins. But He tells me to go and sin no more, and that Your Spirit will cause me to not sin anymore. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away, my former filthy sins away, in the precious blood that You shed for me. I know that I've been a sinner, but I want to repent of my sins and sin no more. Because You said if we sin some more after we've been saved, that the worst thing will happen unto us. Therefore, Lord, I know You said that You'll not turn anyone away, and therefore I know You've heard me, because and You've answered me, because You say all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know that I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And now I just thank Him, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for another message of exposing Satan, and a message of how to have God's life living in you. Now this is program number 161. If you want a copy of it, just specify whether you want a tape or a CD. And you get it by contacting our website. What's the website number?
LamoMinistries.com.
That's a very simple thing to remember. LamoMinistries.com. And until tomorrow, where you'll be hearing part 60 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, this is World Pastor Tony Lamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.